Welcome to the Abwazi Wine Buzz podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Clinton Lee. Today's guest is a lady with real verve, style, impact, and it's possibly a combination of the New Yorker in her, but there's also the Asian flavor, which comes from Korea. And then, of course, there's the culture and the panache, which comes from Italy. Now, I would very much like to introduce you all, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce Stevie Kim from a great pedigree and also who is with Vin Italy, amongst many others. Welcome to the show, Stevie.
Ciao. Thank you for having me. I feel like you're talking about somebody else, but I'm so honored.
Not at all. Buongiorno. Annyeonghaseyo.
Buongiorno. How's your Italian?
It's wonderful to have you. My Italian is one of the many aspects of my life that is lacking. I have very few talents, and one of them is not Italian yet, but I am working on it. So, Stevie, there's yes. So many things about you that we'd like to learn. So if you were asked by someone, pointing to a person standing across the room in 5 sentences or less, and that person being pointed to was you. How would you describe yourself, and not the physical aspect at all, but the inner you, truly, and not the vanilla version, please?
I don't know. Actually, it's hard to take out the physical element. I'm not sure because I live in Italy and I'm clearly Asian, right? But my brain thinks like a New Yorker and my heart is, let's say, more Italian, right? So I think it's hard to take out the physical element, but I am Asian like yourself. So I think we age pretty well, so no one knows how old I am. But I think at my age and my life cycle, in a way, I'm a little bit obsessed about legacy. So recently, that's kind of my, everything that I do is around legacy. I think if someone were to describe me, I am pretty conscientious and driven by projects. Like I need a project. Like I'll tell you just by like one anecdote. Mm-hmm. When my friend passed, I know this is longer than 5 sentences.
No, please. My
best friend
longer.
Passed when she was very young, and she used to be a runner. And I had never run before. So in her honor, I had decided to do a marathon. So once I had that in mind, and I'm not really, you know, physically inclined to be a marathon runner in a way, but when I'm driven, I'm incredibly self-disciplined. So I had an objective. I had this project of running a marathon. In fact, that year I ran both New York and Paris, mind you, just to finish, not for the time.
Certainly.
Another trait I would say is that I am open about everything, because I think I'm innately, I suppose, curious. Mm-hmm. So I would say I'm quite open in that way.
Okay, and I think you've described it most succinctly. You are driven and disciplined, which I think, having had the opportunity to visit Vin Italy, you're going to need that with the producers and the multitude of wine lovers, buyers, sellers, everyone that sort of converges. Now, Stevie, tell us the difference with Vin Italy International and Vin Italy. Is there a real difference at all?
So first of all, I'm glad you asked me that question, because there's a bit of confusion. Vin Italy is a brand. It is not a company. right? The brand is Vinitaly, and it is owned by an exhibition company called Verona Fiere. So they own a lot of different exhibitions, and one of the fair is Vinitaly, about wine, but they'll do marble. They just finished Marble Fair just 2 days ago, and then they'll do electronics, and they'll do a lot of different types of fairs. Vinitaly, and which is the Vinitaly Fair happens, it's an annual fair. It happens in Verona. Yes. There are about 4,000 exhibiting producers and about 90,000 attendees, professional attendees in 4 days in Verona. That happens once a year. Vinitaly International, on the other hand, it is kind of the promoting arm. It is also another brand under the umbrella of Vinitaly. So there's Verona Fiere, Vinitaly, and then Vinitaly International in a way. There are a lot of other products, right? So like their opera wine or wine to wine, all of these different products belong under the umbrella of Vinitaly.
So perfectly explained. And I think that sort of demystifies what many are oftentimes confused. I know from a personal aspect that having come to Vin Italy, you know, the wine show, through the cooperation with the ICCBC, you know, the Italian Chamber of Commerce, certainly the ones of British Columbia in Canada.
When have you been last?
Oh, I'm awaiting to come next year.
Hopefully. Oh, fantastic. Yeah, so I'll finally get to meet you in person.
Absolutely. And I too would have that opportunity to meet you. So,
excellent.
Yeah, no, the Italian Chamber of Commerce of British Columbia do a fantastic job of promoting and pushing forward, you know, both importers and those that have an interest in Italian wine. And one of the personal passions of mine is promoting Italy, because I find Italy to be magnificent in many, many aspects. And I think having studied Latin for 5 years, perhaps could have been a part of that ingredient. Now, Stevie, what is it like to be deeply associated with one of the most powerful wine events in Europe, if not the world?
With everything that's of this magnitude, it has the goods and the bads, right? So being associated with Vinitaly, it is Vinitaly because, you know, Italians are very special. They excel in, you know, of course, cuisine and fashion and design, but they're incredibly individualists. In terms of character trait, if you will. That's a gross generalization, but so in a way, it is wonderful to be kind of, you know, to corral this group of Italian wine people, Italian wine industry, but at the same time, they're so fragmented because they are so individualistic, each and every one of them. So it's a challenge, I have to tell you. At Vinitaly, in fact, when people ask me, like, can you describe Vinitaly, what it's like? And I always tell them, like, what I love is that two words, chaos and charm, like chaotic charm. I think that's the perfect description and kind of encases what Vinitaly is. And as a consequence, those are exactly the things that I have to, you know, deal with every day. So the goods and the bads.
Well, I think that your character that possesses the three Ds, determination, decisive, and devoted, are certainly characteristics that you need. Now, having said that, you are a woman, a foreigner in Italy, and let us be open, in a pretty much male-dominated industry. Share your journey with us. And in the words of, you know, associated with Clint Eastwood, share with us the good, the bad, and the ugly.
So, I mean, I think I tick off two boxes, right? I am woman,
yes,
but also I'm a foreigner.
Yes.
Right. So usually when we go to important meetings, I am the only woman, but also I'm the only foreigner. So it and Verona, because Vinitaly is actually part of Verona Fiere, who owns the brand, and Verona Fiere is owned by the city of Verona as the largest participating stakeholder.
Yes.
So it is very linked to also the city of Verona, right? And the culture of Verona, which is, you know, it's safe to say it's right-winged for the most part. For the past 12 years, it's been led by a right-wing government. And finally, they have a left-wing mayor at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I was just at a Women in Food Summit for kind of a very large group of, not large, but I would say quite important women in food. And there was a small sliver of interest in wine. So they asked me to attend. And I think in the end, I discovered that food is the way you communicate food and promote food. There's so much ahead, like leaps and by leaps and bounds, like leaps and bounds there have had.
Absolutely.
Because in the end, what you do so wonderfully, but in general, if you think about it, and this is kind of a crude way of thinking about it, which I come to this realization just, you know, the past few days, is that wine is kind of boring. Because if you think about it, you take away the label, you take away the bottle, and you put it in a glass, and it's pretty much red, white, or rosé, or a sparkling at max. And it's much more difficult to communicate that.
Uh-huh.
And I think because, first of all, I didn't have any background in wine. And I came from another field. And the fact that I'm, you know, Asian American, and I wasn't a man, I think it actually helped me to decipher the mystique about Italian wine, because, you know, it's complicated, right? 150,000 producers. We have more than like 600 native grape varieties, not counting the international grapes. We have 400 plus, you know, denominations.
Mm-hmm.
It is incredibly difficult. So I think my advantage was that, yes, I'm completely an outsider, but I can make it sense to me in some way. You know, I can help me understand, then I can also help the others understand. And that has been my greatest advantage, so that I try to simplify everything into something that I can personally understand. So, I was an ignoramus in wine, if you will. And that really helped me. But at the same time, I think I realized, you know, as part of my journey, that perhaps I have more testosterone than a lot of men. So that actually was another thing. So the fact that also, I suppose, the men underestimate you because you're a foreigner, because you're a woman, you don't speak the language, blah, blah, blah. That mm-hmm. always helped me to grow and step up to the challenges. And I think, you know, we were speaking about this, and it's always true, right? Like a lot of the food and the wine culture, you learn from your mom, you know, at home, at the tables, etc. But if you look at the sea level, so there are a lot of women in the wine industry, whether they're in communication, whether
yes.
they're in production, or sure. Even in the viticulture. But if you, the only problem is there are very few men at the top sea level. And I think, to be quite honest, I think that's true with all the different industries, right? Because there are mm-hmm. a lot of women at the mid-tier and below,
yes.
but there are very, very few women at the top. So I don't think it's isolated just to wine industry, or Italian wine for that matter.
That's very true. And I would agree with you. That's why, you know, the Asia Pacific Wine and Spirit Institute, when we've approached wine, we've never really just said, you know, this is a great bottle. this is the flavor and the aromas you're going to get. And it was a very conscious decision at Upwazi. In the words of a good friend of mine, Terry Martins, who is from Argentina, he owns a winery there. He said to me, "Clinton, nobody's child is ugly." So if you were to consider the winemaker and they're making wine, and it is hard to make wine. I don't think the ordinary person in the street realizes the amount of work that it takes to produce that bottle of wine. But no one is going to say that their bottle of wine is not great.
Right.
So therefore, it is a somewhat biased opinion. So I totally agree with you. Wine on its own, without the backup group, as it were, can be somewhat sterile. And I think it's due to people like yourself and others out there that orchestrate this melodic sense that we all enjoy. Now, many know more about your association with Vinitaly, but yours has been a journey, you know, from Korea to Ohio and then to New York. And then, you know, you and I share a common passion, which is sailing. And I have sailed in Greece. So, and then to the city of romance. Now, but there's more to you than that. And could you tell us about five-star wines and wines without walls?
So when people think of Vinitaly, like yourself, you think about the 4 days of the fairgrounds. For me, Vinitaly, I call it the marathon, the Vinitaly marathon, because mm-hmm. it lasts 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts with this thing called Vinitaly International Academy, where we train. It's an intensive course. The theory is done online, but 3 days of tasting and tasting, you know, like 200 wines and 1 day of exam. And then you, those who pass, the pass rate is only about 25%, but the 25% will become a quote unquote Italian wine ambassadors.
Uh-huh.
We do that for 4 days and it's a hugely successful course. We've done it all over the world. About 1,100 candidates have gone through the program, 300 uh-huh. certified ambassadors. Then we do the five-star wines and wine without walls, which is basically a wine competition. It's pretty small by wine right. competition standards, about 3,000 wines, but it's highly focused on and centered around Italian wines, logically, because then the awardees, it's a point system, so anyone above 90 will get an award. And they get listed in a book, that a guide that we produce. But more importantly, once they receive the score, then immediately the following days during Vinitaly, they can demonstrate the scores. And that sometimes is really commercially powerful in terms of accessing to new buyers, because they will see that immediately. We put it in the app. There is a system where they will be geolocalized. So that is another tool that will help them. Wine Without Walls is a division of quote unquote the natural, the sustainable wines, if you will. So uh-huh. that's kind of the green green wines. We do another event following that, which is called Opera Wine, and you must, Clinton, must come to Opera Wine if you come, because I don't know if you know Wine Experience in New York, which happens yes. With Wine Spectator. Well, it's Wine Experience except with Italian wines.
Well, I'm waiting for the invitation, Stevie.
Yes, and it's all about the we have 130 wines, hence the wineries chosen by Wine Spectator, and we do a small wine experience here. It lasts just a few hours. It's only by invitation.
Yes.
And all the owners and the principals actually pour the wine. So it's really wonderful. You get to see the Antinori's, the Frescobaldi's, and the Gut all together. And it is a wonderful event. That is kind of the opening event, premier event to Vinitaly, leading up to Vinitaly. Then we have Vinitaly. So as you can see, the five-star wines and the wine without walls, the two products that you've asked, it falls during the Vinitaly Marathon calendar.
Perfecto. Thank you for explaining that. And I will be speaking to Ilaria at the ICCBC and Alex.
Absolutely.
And let's see, you know, we can get ourselves there. I should be in Italy next year in April. So either before or after, depending on the dates, I certainly hope to have the pleasure of meeting you. Now,
yes, Stevie, in Opera Wines, save the date.
Opera Wines, okay. Well, I will look for the invitation on my email or wherever it comes through. Don't forget.
Yes, now, absolutely.
Thank you, Stevie. Now, Stevie, your entrepreneurial blood flows, and I think quite ferociously within you. Is that hereditary, you believe, or inculcated through formal education?
I think it's a bit of both, because as you know, genetics is only 50%. I do have, in theory, one husband. He's a medical doctor, so he tells me these kind of things. But I think it's also very evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Always based on where you're at, right? And the opportunities that present you. So in the beginning, I started with my husband and started in eating disorders and started a master's program for doctors and psychologists. Mm-hmm. And when I came into wine, I translated that into the wine business, and hence Vinitaly International Academy. So it's, I think what I try to do always is to embrace the new opportunities, new challenges, but with the insight of my experience from the past. So I think that kind of drives me to the next level, if you will. And I am, like I said, I told you in the at the introduction, I'm incredibly focused driven by the various projects I have in front of me. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't know if that is a character trait or if that's in my DNA, but I just love also, you know, I'm at a point in my age, I have to love the things I do, and I surround myself with people I like, because I think it's just a waste of time otherwise. Right? Because I'm not terribly spiritual. So I think this is pretty much it. And I really want to get the most of it. And I'm not terribly intelligent, I think, but I do have one talent.
I think you're being quite modest there.
But, No. I do have one talent, and I do recognize talent in front of me.
One talent with several subsections, I would say, about you.
So then I can have them part of our team, and then they really contribute in a significant way to help the team grow. And I love that, because, and I love surrounding myself with the next generation, the Gen Z. I have some problems with philosophically in life, but it is still a constant injection of new blood and new ideas. So that's what I love, and I love what I'm doing. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, and I think that your proclivity and your sensitivities to life itself are one that many subscribe to. You know, as I said, you have many other businesses you mentioned.
Yes.
Consultancies, schools for medical doctors, psychologists.
Which, I have a podcast.
You have a podcast, which I believe I'm... being interviewed myself.
Yes. You'll be a guest very soon, I believe.
So I'll be sitting in the hot seat. And you know, all these other businesses, they also attract that it's the wine of life, you know. So your wine of life is, as it were, is blended, and perhaps not the purest in wine terms. And would you say that's something hereditary? Because if you look at your life, you know, you've traveled from Korea to Ohio, then to New York, and then you went sailing for 2 months in the Greek islands. There's clearly a sense of adventure and this insatiable desire for wanting to seek knowledge and know more.
Yeah, I'm always curious, because on the other, I'm a bit neurotic, not too much, but considering I'm a New Yorker, I'm not that neurotic, but also I have an ego. And I think the ego, I'm ego driven and I feel like I can make a difference. So when you think you can, what you do can actually make a difference, then you are even more driven, right?
They should have you on the New York subway transit system to make driven changes there.
Yeah, perhaps.
Now, Stevie, being married to an Italian and you being a Korean, although you met in the, I can think of no more perfect setting than Verona, you know, the sort of
the two gentlemen of Verona, Romeo and Juliet.
You know, but there must have been some culturally incisive moments that stick in your mind. Which one do you remember the most?
I think the informal sense of being of Americans in a way that is the most distinctive culture clash that we have. First of all, I have one Russian daughter because I adopted, and then I have one biological daughter, but we've always had different types of nannies, etc. But the culture clash, it's really a set of habitual living, right? Because first of all, when I moved to Italy, it was before there was Airbnb. My house was always like an Airbnb. We've always had guests, and anyone who's pops by, they stayed, and you know, we shared experiences together. With Italians, it's a little bit more formal, you know, especially in the northern Italy. Maybe, you know, you see Italian Americans and you know, it's quite different, but the northerners are very Nordic in a way and formal. You know, they want their space and they want to eat at a certain time and they want to have tablecloth on there.
And the passeggiare, you know,
yeah, and enjoy. You know, at my house, for example, at 8 o'clock, you have dinner. Okay. But the craziness of all this is when, you know, the husband's in America, he adapts to local time, you see, 8 o'clock and 1 o'clock. So I think there are certain culture clashes in a way. But in general, I think Italians and Koreans are pretty similar. You know, they want the best food, like they'll spend all of their money on the best food and the best quality of, you know, enjoying life in a way, this dolce vita in a way, and very family focused.
Familia. You
know, the family values are very important. So I think with any marriages, you need to have, it's like a Venn diagram, right? And if you have enough common area, then it can work.
Yeah. So you're part of that universal.
Otherwise, you can clash.
I want to. Please carry on.
So I think, like, you know, one of the things was I really believed in, you know, what the husband was doing. He started the first inpatient treatment for eating disorders and obesity. That's how I got into that business and wanted to really help him. But at the same time, to salvage my marriage, after a while, I had to find my own space. So I think, you know, both of us now respect what we're doing in different fields. But of course, we have enough common area of interest, like, you know, our family.
Sure. Familia. Now, familia. I was watching an interview that you had and it resonated with me, you know, where I believe you speak to your children in English.
Yes.
And your husband, I think, speaks to them in Italian and you speak to your husband in Italian, which was something that I similarly went through. My late mother would only speak to me in Chinese.
Right.
And, my father would speak to me in English only. So I thank them for that. And I think your children will too. But you mentioned you also adopted a daughter. So how about her language? I mean, do you...
Oh, the Russians are incredibly... I don't know if you know a lot of Russians.
I know,
or the Slavs in general. Yeah,
yes.
They are incredibly gifted with languages. So what I did was, you know, it's kind of maybe a little bit very conservative, but I only allowed them to watch videos in the beginning, you know, at their time it was DVD. Now people don't even know what DVDs are, but at the time they were only allowed to watch DVDs and they were educational. They had no TV and all the nannies were only English or English speaking nannies. So
right.
I was very rigorous in a way. I was very strict, but I really wanted them to have the advantage of speaking English fluently. Because I will always be the absent mother, right? Because I was, so I relied a lot on my hired helps, and they did a great, great job. So I think for them, it was very, very natural, you know, because you know that people, especially children, associate language with the person. The first language you speak, that's the language, and they don't really think about it. So they speak to me in English, they speak to the husband in Italian, they'll speak to the guest, depending on the language they first spoke with. And it's just very natural. But, you know, at a dinner table, and when a guest would come for the first time, they're completely confused because they have no idea. They're clueless as to which language they should speak. So it's kind of fun, but you come from the same background, so you understand that.
I understand 100%. And you know, just as you were talking there, it sort of made me realize that, you know, perhaps this type of background and environment that you have created for your family and something that I have gone through, when you look at wine, most people will come up and say, oh, this is the best wine. And other wines are perhaps of a lesser value in their eyes. I think the way that we have been brought up, we see wines as equal, each one having a different perspective, and the values are different. It depends where you come from. And one of the previous people I interviewed, Andrew Jefford, he talks about verticality versus horizontal. And I think we should be moving more and more towards that, appreciating all the wines that are made out there. And that's
I'm gonna look for Andrew's pod, actually. But, you know, I work with an Italian vine genetics professor. Uh-huh. His name is Giulio Scienza. And Scienza, of course, in English, it means science. Uh-huh. And he's exactly that. He is the absolute authority in vine genetics and viticulture in Italy. But nobody knows him outside of Italy because he only speaks Italian and German. But he did 50 zonation. All of the producers are his students, etc. And he taught me one word. It's called, in Italian, it's synesthesia. I think in English, it's synesthesia, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know the pronunciation. Sometimes those words get very confusing. And that, what that means is that when you are drinking a wine, you associate with the your memory, right? Uh-huh. So like you think about when you drank that wine for the first time, maybe in Chianti, or maybe it was at your home. I mean, he made the anecdote about, you know, when the bread comes out of the oven, right? And it reminds you of your mom.
Sure.
Right. So, and I think wine is like that for me. It's much more about whom you drink with and where you drink. And where you have that experience. And above all, for me, wine is about sharing. So it's not about this didactic, you know, from top to bottom, I'm going to teach you what this wine is about. Like for me, that's the less sexy part of wine business for me. For me, it's about sharing the culture, the stories, because whenever I drink a wine, regardless of, you know, the prestige associated with it. I recall the stories that I've heard from the producers.
Of course.
Right.
Of
So
course.
I think that's kind of my take on wine promotion and education in general.
And that is exactly what Abwazi does as well. Every single aspect we have has culture, because without culture and the stories, we both want to create and leave a legacy. It's so important. And you know, you spoke about who you share it with. So what's your idea of a great evening, Stevie?
Well, it's very linked to that. For me, the great evening is about sharing food and wine, of course, but it's about sharing stories. And then if at a dinner or at a meeting or an event, if I come away home with some kind of wisdom or some kind of discovery, for me, that was a huge success. You know, and I come home with, oh my God, I didn't realize that before. And that is the greatest gift of learning. And for me, that is probably the best bit about sharing a meal or a glass of wine together.
I couldn't agree more, you know, and we've been speaking about legacy. You know, we want to both leave a legacy. Now, but there's always the new generation. You refer to them, the Gen Z, and there's other generations that are also following closely behind them, and there will be the new ones. Now, what advice would you offer to people who are thinking of trying Italian wine for the first time?
I mean, I think what I would, if they're starting
first
from
time.
The beginning for the first time, I think they do have to go to the very basics, right? So, you know, you go to, if you're thinking of red, go to Chianti. You can't go wrong, because the past, you know, I think in the, I don't know, I would say maybe like 30 years ago, maybe not all Italian wines were great, right? You
sure.
saw Chianti wines out of a fiasco with the straw matted, you know, packaging. It's
yes.
completely different now. Most of, you know, Chianti wines, Chianti Classico especially, they're really, really solid, good Italian wines, which is which symbolizes Sangiovese, which is the widest planted red grape. And then I know everyone knows Prosecco, but try different types of Prosecco, because I think they will really be surprised by that. So, like, you know, start, and then of course start, and then a white wine. I know everybody knows Pinot Grigio, but if you are beginning, I think that's a very good place to start.
Sure. I think
it's like building blocks. If you're
building
trying
blocks.
For the first time, Prosecco, Pinot Grigio, Chianti.
Some
and then if you feel a little bit more, let's say, adventuresome, then go to Nebbiolo. But Nebbiolo is so tannic. If you're not ready, you know, then you're not ready. And the fun thing, fun wine also to try, of course, is Lambrusco. I
oh,
think
yes.
Lambrusco is really, really undervalued, because there are some great, great Lambruscos out there.
Yeah, there's absolutely. I recall the first time I had the Lambrusco. I was in Italy recently and came back, and I was in Montefalco. Montefalco. And I recall here in Canada, a gentleman by the name of Tony Boccale.
Okay.
And you know Boccale, right? You know, that little vessel that they use.
Yeah,
he came to me, and he had some wines, and he said, you know, Doctore, you know, and he's Italian. He said, I'd like you to tell me what you think about these wines. So as soon as I saw the bottle, it had Sagrantino. I said, oh, that's Sagrantino. That's from Montefalco. That's the most tannic wine you could possibly think of.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He looked at me with sort of bewilderment and said, really? You know about that? I said, of course, Seto, you know. And And it's interesting that the wine, although he's not related, but the name of that winery is called Boccale, Boccale wine, which was, you know, quite by coincidence. And the gentleman, the family, it's typical, typicale, of the Italian wine industry, generational. Although his is quite young, moving into the third generation, but still, and you know, it's called Boccale Wines. So Valentino Valentini, which I think is quite a romantic name, he's the owner there, and it was marvelous. You know, I had the opportunity to go and visit, and like yourself, I think we've both visited hundreds of wineries, and so
Yeah,
certainly.
and I think you understand Sagrantino by visiting. I
Yes.
always tell the Italian producers that I don't think the French wines are necessarily better than the Italian wines, but they're certainly better. They're really capable of getting the people to their territory.
Yes.
And then they can illustrate. And I said, I mean, Italians are, in terms of hospitality, I really think Italians are number one. So if you are able to travel to Italy, then game over, right? So that's another thing that what I love to do, to try to get many people as possible, both trade and wine lovers, into the Italian wine regions.
Well, then we should be looking to cooperating sometime, Stevie, because Abwazi has some Italian wine tours that will be starting in 2023 that I'll be hosting.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I'm at your disposition.
Thank you. Thank you, Madame. Now, Stevie, my last question to you, although I think we could go on for hours and hours, and
We
if
need
there
a little bit of wine,
I
maybe,
was
to go
going to
on
say
for
we need
hours.
a little bit of wine. That's right. And I do hope you are still partaking of good Korean, you know, the barbecues that they have.
Oh, you know, actually, I don't get much Korean food here.
No, I know. When I was in Verona, I didn't see many.
No, there's nothing. Like nada.
That could be your next program, your next business venture. So, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
I don't know. I try not to think so ahead. I would love to take Vinitaly International Academy into a more structured level. I would like to continue for the podcast to reach, and maybe perhaps, you know, create subsections of the podcast, because we do a daily show. We're crazy. But I think there is a formative, like, training element that I would like to incorporate in the wines. But what I would really like to do, like, and this is just wishing,
Sure.
just wishing, wish thinking on from my part, is that I would love to collaborate more with food people, because I went to the summit I was telling you, though,
Yes.
you know, Women in Food, and there were absolutely fabulous people from all over the world, incredibly well-known, expertise in their area, both chefs and journalists, cookbook writers, etc. And they served this wonderful meal at a one-star Michelin restaurant. Okay.
Okay.
But there was no wine. They only served water.
Huh.
And I was astounded, because I really think the food people could do less with wine in their mind. Like, for them, food is the protagonist. Whereas the wine people think they're the protagonist. And to be quite honest, there are a lot more food people than wine.
Sure.
So in 5 years, I would love to have started something with also food at my side. That's kind of my dream.
Well, Stevie, let's make your dream come true. And I am at your disposal, Madame. Molto grazie.
Great, great. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. And I think there could have been so many hours, and certainly with some great Italian wine. Thank you so much, Stevie. And I look forward to seeing you at Vinitaly in 2023.
You've been listening to Wine Buzz Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, then please leave a review or share it with a friend. Apwazi is an online wine and spirit institution dedicated to promoting culture and diversity through the world of education. If you're looking to get started, we have a free online course that we are giving out to all our listeners. For more information, head to apwazi.com. That's APWASI.com.